everybody. This is Charles with the Barbershop Group Podcast today. And today is Friday, and we're going to talk about transitions today. You know, a lot of times, guys, we go through transitions and we go through them privately. We don't like to discuss them with a lot of people. And there are different types of transitions. I know that they can be vague. So we're going to talk a little bit about losing jobs. We're going to talk about divorce, and we're going to talk about some difficult aspects of family life. So today we've got on the show Dominique Battle. Dominique, are you there?
I'm here. Hi, everybody.
All right. It's good to have you on. And Dominique is coming to us out of Winter Park, Florida. She is the owner and CEO of Creative Counseling Living and Wellness LLC down in Winter Park, Florida. She's a therapist that's been working out there for about 8 years or so. And she specializes in individual and couple counseling, family therapy. And she also does some life coaching for individuals as well. So, you know, Dominique, you heard me talk about people really not discussing transitions, okay? And before we came on air, you know, we were joking a little bit about how when an individual gets fired, they don't really like to talk about it. Nobody ever raises their hand and says, hey, I've been fired. And I don't. Right. But, you know, you deal with transitions a lot. You deal with folks coming to you saying, hey, look, we have a shift taking place right now. Either it's stressful or it's creating stress, or we don't know how to deal with it. You see that happen a lot with individuals and couples. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I was thinking about, you know, with saying that a lot of people don't talk about being terminated for a job and facing the transition of that and the shifting of that. What are some of the stressful, or I guess the stressors that accompany that type of transition? I mean, if nobody ever even mentions that they've lost a job, that has to have some type of psychological impact on them. What do you see happening?
What I see happening most often is that they do another transition happens, ironically enough. They start transitioning to having, you know, depressive symptoms or symptoms of anxiety or even aggression and just anger. All types of emotions, psychological issues happen, even if they haven't necessarily discussed it. These things start coming out because it does affect us psychologically and it does affect us emotionally, whether we talk about it or not. So it leads people to start developing these psychological disorders, which, you know, talking about it helps. But like you said, we don't like to. It's uncomfortable.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I remember one time I was on Facebook, you know, and blame Facebook for everything these days, right? Because every time a conversation starts with somebody, it's like, well, I saw this on Facebook.
Exactly. But, you
know, so I was on Facebook and somebody was having a conversation about being fired. And there were so many different comments out there, but nobody ever said, hey, that's happened to me before. And I remember listening to a talk by Bishop T.D. Jakes, and he was talking about men. And he was saying particularly, hey, look, okay, I know you've lost your job. I know you've been knocked down, but you need somebody in your life who can tell you, get back up. Here's the way, come this way, do this, you know? Mm-hmm. And it seems like, you know, when you talk about those depressive states and when it comes to something like losing a job, it's the avoidance that makes people sick all over again, when really, in reality, it's something that everybody experiences. Everybody has had some type of transition involving a job. So what are maybe three things that you could highlight, or if you were to bullet point three things for somebody who came and said, hey, you know what? A couple months back, I lost my job and we're trying to get things back together, man, but it's really putting a lot of stress on me. You know, bills are late. I feel like I was wrongfully terminated, and I feel like an embarrassment. Maybe I'm letting my families down, you know, my family members down. What are three bullet points that you can come up with for individuals who may come to you that way?
I would first want them to know that it's normal, that it happens to the best of us and it happens to the worst of us, that we lose jobs, we lose a lot of things, but that it's not an indication of our character, right? It's not an indication of who we are as people. So I would first want them to know that it's normal. It happens. they're not the only one that it's going to happen to, and they're not the last. The second thing that I would highlight is that they need to find someone that they feel comfortable with and talk to them about it, regardless of who that is. It can be a friend, it can be a previous, you know, coworker, whoever they feel like they can relate to and who would resonate with what they're talking about, to talk about it. Because we, when you go through those types of transitions, you fall into this place where you feel less than, and you feel vulnerable, and you feel like you're not worthy, and you can get stuck in that place. Right. So the third thing I would say to them is, don't get stuck. You can't hold on to something and move on at the same time. You have to pick a choice and go towards the moving on avenue, because that's the only way you're going to get out of that space. So don't get stuck. It's normal for everybody, and find somebody to talk to, find somebody to share your experiences and your feelings, your emotions with.
Right. Right. Absolutely. And I think that's important. I think that's important to mention, is just that it is normal, because there's so many that we go through, we experience, and we think that we're experiencing those things by ourselves. But, you know, there was something else that you said that just jarred my mind. And you said that, you know, it's not a character assassination. It's not a really personal thing, because a lot of times we personalize those types of transitions, right? You know, it's, wait, I got fired and now I'm ready to. And in some cases, you know, yeah, people experience things on jobs where maybe, you know, litigation has to occur or something like that. Somebody's wrongfully terminated. Okay, fine. But a lot of times we just take on this really personalized experience, like they were coming out to get us.
Specifically, only me, and that's it.
You know, like, and it's like, wait, do you know how many people there are in the United States today who lost their jobs? Like, so is it personal for everybody? Like, what's really going on?
Exactly. Looking at the bigger picture.
Thing, yeah. So one of the things that I've had to tell a friend of mine too, when we start talking about it, and maybe it's going the route of personalization, it's like, well, wait a minute. You know, what's going on in you to make you feel like it was personal? So I want to ask you, like, what are some of the things that go on in us when we make that type of transition personal? What's happening on the inside?
I think it's we have our own expectations of ourselves, and we have our own expectations of what things should look like. So if we know that we're doing everything that in our mind we're supposed to be doing, and this thing happens, then obviously, sorry, I'm saying that sarcastically, I didn't do something right, because I pictured it this way and it didn't go this way. So it must be my fault. And we start to take the blame for our own skewed expectations and our own skewed mindsets for how we see things. So if we can broaden our expectations and be a little bit more gentle with ourselves and our capabilities and what we can actually do or what we can't do, even our limitations, and understand that I've done everything I can to this point, but it wasn't me. It was outside of me. It was outside of my control. I couldn't have done anything right or wrong to make that happen. So I think it's mainly our expectations. And, you know, we get into the mode of self-blame and feeling guilty as if we could have done something to stop it, when in reality, we probably couldn't have. It could have just been a layoff and you were just a number and that's it.
Right. Definitely. Yeah. And I think that's a very healthy way to look at it, you know, because it can just, you know, I've been in a situation before where I lost my job, and until my right mind kicked in, I was like, oh my goodness. Like, just you, if you ever heard of thinking before, just toilet consistently flushing and it not being able to stop, it was that type of, you know, thought process. And I'm like, this is dangerous. I got to go talk to somebody about this.
Yes. Yes. Me too. I've been in the same situation. And crazily enough, I had a second job and got laid off from my other job. And I still felt like I was the worst person of knowing I still had another income, which is, you know, not so fortunate for other people. But it took me into this really horrible and dark space, because I felt like I had done something wrong. And I also had to talk to somebody and get out of that space.
Right.
Because it's not easy to fall into.
It is. It is. Now, I want to ask you specifically, you know, like, what impact do you think that has on men, or if a man goes through that type of transition, you know, with some of the social expectations that are out there for men right now that we're trying our best to combat, think that type of transition or the negative aspects are even more pronounced for a guy?
I do. 100%. I think is more huge for guys, more specifically because so much is tied to their ability to work and make money. Their family and how they view themselves in that family is tied to their ability to care for the family, who they are to even extended family. And I guess the persona that they've created, is all of that is tied to who they are in the work environment and their ability to bring that home. And once that huge piece of them is taken away, it's difficult to grapple with. Right. It's very difficult for them to grapple with. Whereas for women, if we're married, we have, you know, another cushion. We have kids, we have other responsibilities. So we're used to having to have so many other roles. But for men, that's their main source of personality and validation for themselves.
Hey guys, Riley here. If you're enjoying today's show and would like to hear more, you can gain access to member-only content by going to patreon.com/thebarbershipgroup. We aim to provide as much value as possible to you and the rest of our community, and our listeners play an important role. So if you want more content, or if you're just happy to support our mission and the other men out there, head over to patreon.com/barbershopgroup to contribute today.
Sticking with transitions for a minute, I also have to bring this up because we're living in a day and age where now people are connected to their, or they're connecting to their passion and their purpose. They are looking at life differently. They have established a different set of values that they want to go down a different path in life. And in some cases, partly because of those job transitions, they're like, hey, I want to do something else. Right. And when I talk to older men, I would say guys who are maybe between the ages of 35 and 50, something like that. Right. Now we're hearing more stories about guys who want to leave corporate America. They want to leave those dead end jobs and they want to transition into becoming an entrepreneur, or they want to maybe go back to school or take up a trade or learn a new skill set. And even that presents some challenges to a guy and his family, right? So individuals coming to you with situations like that.
I think it's healthy if they're doing it for the right reasons. They can be trying to be an entrepreneur because they want to learn how to make their own money and so that they don't have that fear of losing a job or that anxiety that comes along with that. Yeah. But if they're doing it to run away from certain situations, then that's where it gets dangerous. So first piecing together and making sure that it's a healthy transition and not an unhealthy transition. So definitely
do you think that there are certain individuals out there who are on this entrepreneurship wagon just to run away from things? Do you think that that happens?
I do think that happens. I think it happens a lot if they've had several unsuccessful attempts at listening to authorities, you know, within their regular jobs or keeping them, they try to take on the train because social media is huge. And that's all you see is entrepreneurs and individuals making their own money. So let me try this. But if they try that and it's not, there's no passion behind it and there's no real gumption behind what they're doing, then it's going to fail. And then if they go from that to something else within a very short span and then go to something else within a very short span and nothing is successful, then at that point it's time to really look at what is it they're trying to do and the reason behind why they're trying to do that. So I do think that some guys or some people in general run from the failure feeling to let me do this and then let me do this and then let me do this. And then it doesn't work out that way.
Yeah. And I see that, you know, I because it's like there's this boss mentality that just it permeates society. Everybody wants to be a boss. Everybody wants to be the man. And they don't realize, hey, there's a lot that goes into actually becoming an entrepreneur. And failure is just as real as an entrepreneur as it is for an employee. It doesn't go away.
It doesn't. And it's so important. Understanding that failure is important and getting over that hump is, I think, the true testament of an entrepreneur, knowing that it's a part of the process and it's okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, like in some cases, even as an entrepreneur, you could probably fire yourself too.
Exactly.
Imagine that.
Right.
You talk about a blow to esteem right there, man. I mean, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
But I had to let myself go today.
Yeah, there you go. So You know, but at the same time, and I understand that for a lot of men, there's a certain amount of freedom involved in knowing that, you know, I can go out there and be more. And we definitely we support that 100%.
Definitely.
But we also know that, hey, we don't want guys to put their families in harm's way, and we don't want guys to put themselves in harm's way, you know, financially or psychologically or physically or spiritually.
Exactly.
Because of what they see someone else doing, and they're trying to establish themselves, or because they're trying to run away from some emotional pain.
Exactly. Exactly. Because at that point, it becomes self-sabotage, because now you're exacerbating your symptoms. So they're getting worse with every failure, and you're causing these failures at this point.
Right. Absolutely. So, you know, one of the other things that we know comes up, and we have to talk about it, right? We know that divorce is happening to over half the population in America. We know
definitely
that. And that's another kind of transition. But you know, I'm not just going to include, well, no, I'll stick with divorce first. We know that we're talking about, yeah, right. We know we're talking about 53% or somewhere like that, you know, and maybe for some individuals, it might be even higher. But that's a transition. And, you know, how often do you see couples or individuals for that particular transition?
I see several
couples
for a divorce or thinking about divorce or trying to divorce in a healthy way. Which is one of the new things, which I think is great.
Right. So, I mean, before we get into the other stuff, what do you mean divorce in a healthy way? What is that?
Well, because divorces can get nasty, and they can, once you start bringing money into it and kids into it and property and everything like that, it can get uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And two people that used to love each other can get to a point where they hate each other. Right. So, and when they are able to maturely know that ahead of time, then I've seen couples come into my office who are they already know that they want a divorce. They're already in the process of divorcing, but they want to make it an amicable divorce. So whatever situations or conversations come up that may cause conflict or that may cause strife, they want to learn better ways to communicate through that, even as divorcing individuals.
Right. So in other words, they're trying to mitigate extra stress and everything like that.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's extremely important. I think a lot of times we hear stories, right? Mm-hmm. We hear the stories of people divorcing, and it's like everything just gets extremely nasty. In fact, I was reading an article the other day where a divorced couple, the mom took the daughter's cell phone from her, and the ex-husband decided to file theft charges against his ex-wife. Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. And it's all because, you know, he obviously has some issues, you know, with his ex-wife of his. So he's like, hey, I'm carrying on. I couldn't believe it when I was reading that story. And I'm like, wow. And now you have included, you guys are divorced already, but now you have brought your daughter back in to this and now
she doesn't want to be in.
She doesn't want to be in. And now the police and the court and everybody is involved in this all over again. The criminal court is involved.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, imagine
that's
that.
Records. That's, oh, my goodness. That's horrible.
Real story, real talk. It happens. So, you know, when we talk about divorce and these transitions, I want to just, you know, speak from a man's perspective or ask you a question from a man's perspective. What are some of the concerns that guys come to you with as they are approaching divorce?
I think one of the biggest ones is that they don't, especially when the kids are involved, is that they're nervous about how the wife is going to act now that they're going to have to co-parent and not parent together, because just with divorce, child support can get really, really messy.
Right.
And that's one of the biggest fears. A lot of guys come in and are completely willing to give up everything if they don't have to go through a nasty child support battle or even a nasty custody battle.
Are you serious?
And so I'm serious.
When they say they're willing to give up everything, what does that mean?
They're willing to give the wife whatever she wants, please her, and whatever, give her, you know, whatever property she's saying that she wants in the divorce, just to kind of keep everything amicable so that when it comes to the child support issue or when it comes to the custody issue, then it doesn't have to get crazy.
Now, you're not an attorney. You're not a family law attorney. You're a therapist. But how do you What do you say to guys when they come in and this is what they're expressing?
I don't take it that route because I can't give, you know, any kind of law advice. But I do just try to flush out what exactly they mean and where the fear is coming from and what in the past or what has happened before that would make them have that fear. Because I feel, and this is normally true, certain conversations or certain arguments may have come up in the past to where the guy is fearful that, oh my God, now that we're going to get a divorce, I know this is going to happen because she said this or she said that in the past when we've had an argument. So I try to process those things. What has come up in the past to make you feel this way? Where is the fear coming from? What started it? What, you know, what has been said, that kind of route versus the law route?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think underneath it all, there's just a lot of, there's a lot of layers to the onion. There are a lot of emotions and feelings that people don't consider. And they're just looking at the overarching, you know, punishment stuff. And that's that's kind of where guys focus on. And then they work backwards. So I'm glad to hear that that's kind of how you approach it. Because I think that there are so many men who operate in fear when it comes to life generally. Mm-hmm. And I think that there are definitely men who operate in fear when it comes to, you know, divorce and having children involved and stuff like that. So now, you know, we're running short on time, but I also want to ask you, because we're not just dealing with married people, right? There are a lot of folks who are not married, whose relationships and transitions are just as messy.
Exactly. Okay. If not messier.
Oh my God, if not messier. Okay. So I have to ask, you know, and just I would be doing our listeners a disservice if I did not ask this. Okay. We gotta talk about guys, you know, dating. Maybe they have children together, so there's a baby mama out there, or maybe more than one baby mama. And I can tell you, men talk about it all the time that this is stressful for them. Okay.
Yeah.
They want to try to maintain a relationship with their children. And I'm not even talking about deadbeat dads right now. I'm talking about guys who maybe, you know, either they are providing financially, whether through the court system or on their own, but they're still expressing a heightened level of stress and anxiety regarding these relationships. And one of the things that I hear, Dominique, is how do I, or how do we co-parent while breaking this relationship off with proper boundaries? Like, how do we do that? Do guys come to you with that concern?
Guys have come to me with that concern. And I think it's most effective if both parents are on the same page with developing those healthy boundaries. And both parents understand that the boundaries need to be in place. Yeah. The most difficult that I've come across is guys who are great parents and have those same questions and concerns, and the other parent is, you know, not willing to change or adjust. So therapy becomes, how do we get you to a place where you can be flexible around your situation and not personalize it to a point to where you're becoming fearful constantly? Then anxiety is starting to build up.
Right. So would you suggest, and it sounds like you're saying that it'd be really good if, even if they weren't married, if this couple was breaking things off, it'd be good for both of them to show up and try to, you know, just speak to somebody and come to some type of agreement between the two of them. Is that right?
Definitely. I think it'll be healthier, and I think it'll be better for the child and the entire environment, because they're going to be interacting with each other their entire lives at this point. Even though they've broken up, they're still in each other's lives.
How often do you get to have the baby daddy and the baby mama in the same room and talk about this stuff?
Not often. I may have had one particular couple that, you know, was breaking up, and the child, I think, may have been 2 years old, and they knew the type of relationship that they had, and they both were on the same page about developing some healthy boundaries and some healthy communication styles when it comes to co-parenting, but only one that I can remember. It's not often.
See, and that's concerning to me, because I mean, we know that there are baby mamas and baby daddies out there. And if they're, you know, if they're not getting the help and getting the counseling, then I mean, they're just setting in motion this bad cycle of behavior. We know how it turns out. We get to see it all the time.
We do. And it's bad. And I think the idea around that particular, I guess, spectrum of people as well as others, is that we have to be in a crisis mode to go to therapy. Mm-hmm. That's not always the case. You can just go for management or just for help in one particular area and not only for crisis situations.
Absolutely. And I think it's very important that we kind of shift the focus a little bit away from crisis situations, mm-hmm. because that's typically, you know, when you're talking about mental health and wellness or mental illness, it seems to be everybody really, really looking for crisis situations. Even when celebrities right now are talking about mental health, a lot of people are still talking about, well, I had suicidal thoughts or I was addicted to drugs and things. And those are the more extreme examples that are thrown out there. But a lot of this stuff is really just about maintenance.
It is.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of people don't know that, hey, I don't have to be at rock bottom to have maintenance. You know, maintenance actually keeps us from rock bottom. Is that right?
Exactly. Right. The point is prevention, to prevent you from getting to a place where you absolutely don't know what to do. So if you can just go, it's just like going to a doctor, a regular doctor, for a checkup. Just go for a checkup. A mental checkup is what I like to call them.
Right. Absolutely. I hear you. So, you know, what's something that you want the listeners to take away, especially guys, when we're talking about these transitions like this, what's something that you want guys to take away from your interview with us today?
I want guys and listeners to know that transitions are normal. Transitions are going to happen whether we like it or not. And the better we are at handling those transitions and talking to people and reaching out for help while we're going through it, the better off we'll be when the next transition comes, because it's going to come. So just reaching out for help and knowing that it's normal and knowing that, you know, everybody goes through it and it's okay.
Yeah.
You'll get through that.
Absolutely. That's very good. You know, I often look towards some principles of Buddhism and things like that. And one of the core principles is that everything changes. Nothing stays the same. And if you can accept the fact that things do change and people go through changes, then, you know, now you can become a little bit more open to some of the solutions and kind of maintain a healthy standard of living. So that's really good. Guys, you all have been listening to Dominique Battle, who is a therapist in Winter Park, Florida. She specializes in individual, couple, and family therapy and works also as a life coach. She's got her office there in Winter Park, Florida. We will include the link and the address for you guys so that you can look her up if you are in the area. And Dominique, before I forget, you also do some online video counseling. Is that correct?
I do. So if they set up an appointment, which is available on my website, they can set up a video appointment and we can make that happen.
Awesome. That is really good. So guys, we will include all of her social media links and her website, as we do with all of our guests, so that you all can reach out to her. As you all know, we like to be able to provide you all with access to resources, and that includes literature, but also people. You know, if you're experiencing a transition right now, don't be embarrassed. We all go through it. And you don't have to go through it by yourself. There are plenty of solutions out there. What do they say? A closed mouth does not get fed. So you all need to remember that. Again, you all have been listening to Dominique Battle, therapist in Winter Park, Florida. And Dominique, we thank you for your time with us today.
Thank you.
Guys, that you all have enjoyed her sharing her knowledge with us. And, you know, hey, even if you got a baby mama out there, you know what? Try to get her in for counseling. Okay. I mean, you just want the best situation for your kids. Okay. So guys, having said that, you all have a great weekend and we'll talk to you soon.
The Barbershop Group provides safe spaces for men to discuss issues of well-being and mental health. The Barbershop Group also serves as a resource to the community, providing consultations and public speakers through partnerships with attorneys, mental health professionals, family agencies, religious institutions, and other advocates. In the near future, the Barbershop Group seeks to renovate dilapidated residential and commercial properties in urban areas to create respite shelters for displaced men. We will also host mentorship retreats and workshops for young men and adults to foster growth through our Iron Sharpening Iron and our Rebuilding Men programs. In addition, we host a weekly podcast covering issues of mental health, homelessness, financial literacy, education, and leadership. If you would like to be a guest on our show, please email us at info@thebarbershopgroup.org, visit our Facebook page, or call 313-585-9948 for more information.